Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. I want to mention again that I've just started offering this week a booklet, and for the first time, probably, it's not one of my own. I'm offering a booklet written by Ralph Martin. Ralph is the president of Renewal Ministries, the organization for which I work. Ralph is the director of the program and the new evangelization at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. And Ralph has written a little booklet entitled The Final Confrontation. You can receive a free copy of it by getting the information. You can call our 800 number. We have information at the end of the program. I'm just going to offer it for a short time, but I want to encourage you to read it, and then I'd like your feedback by email, by letter. I wouldn't suggest that you call because I'm often tied up in meetings, so calling is not a good way, but by email or by letter, let me know what you think of the booklet. Read it carefully. Don't skim it. Read it very carefully. Today we look at the readings for today, again in ordinary time, but nothing's ever ordinary with God, is it? And we read from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 4 to 11. Brothers and sisters, such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that of ourselves we are qualified to take credit for anything as coming from us. Rather, our qualification comes from God, who has indeed qualified us as ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter brings death, but the spirit gives life. How important this is. If you follow the letter of the law, you might get all kinds of praise from some people. But what you need to do is ask a deeper question. Why is that law there? What is God, when we're talking about religious matters, what is God trying to get us to safeguard by giving us this rule? People say, oh, laws, rules, I don't need them, I'm going my own way. But God gave us rules, so to speak, to safeguard the gifts that he wants us to have. So that when we say, I'm going my own way, I don't need to obey the commandments, what we're doing is we're missing, we're disqualifying ourselves from receiving all the gifts that God has. God's commandments are there for a reason, to protect us so that we can receive who he is and become like him, which is the deepest longing of our hearts, even though we don't know it. We will never be satisfied until we have union with God. Never. We were made for God. Does that make sense? What happens when we violate the commandments is we take things into our own hands and we say, I'm going to go my own way here. I'm going to do what I want to do. I deserve happiness. I deserve this. I deserve that. Whatever. And what we do is we go off track. We try to be our own savior. We try to meet the deepest need of our heart, and we were never intended to do that. We cannot save ourselves. And we can only live forever if we live in him and with him. First reading for today is taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. As I said, brothers and sisters, such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that of ourselves we are qualified to take credit for anything as coming from us. Rather, our qualification comes from God, who has indeed qualified us as ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter brings death, but the spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, was so glorious that the children of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses, because of its glory. People could not look at the face of Moses when he came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments because his face was so radiant. He was radiant with the presence of God. That's what God wants to do for us. How much more will the ministry of the Spirit be glorious, the Holy Spirit given to you? For if the ministry of condemnation was glorious, that is, do this or be condemned. But then when Christ died for us and we came into the new covenant, Christ is there with power and grace to sustain us and to enable us to do what is right. If the ministry of condemnation was glorious, the ministry of righteousness will abound much more in glory. Indeed, what was endowed with glory has come to have no glory in this respect because of the glory that surpasses it. For what was going to fade was glorious. How much more will what endures be glorious? Brothers and sisters, God gave us the commandments not so that we observe the letter of the law. He gave us the commandments so that we become like him and that his priorities become our priorities. And when we recognize that and did recognize that by the death of Jesus Christ, we can inherit eternal life forever. 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 Holy is the Lord our God. Holy is God. He is worthy to be praised. Extol the Lord our God. Worship at his holy mountain, for holy is the Lord our God. God loves you. God wants you to have eternal life with him. This is not a parable or, you know, be kind of like having eternal life. God is offering eternal life. The commandments are the way. But the commandments are not just a report card that we have to get good grades on. The commandments are the ways in which we become like him. We take on his priorities, his thinking, his way of acting, his goals, his priorities. Cherish the Ten Commandments and live them. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 17 to 19, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven." Don't be one of those who breaks the commandments and says, "Oh, this is unimportant, that doesn't matter," and pass on that attitude to our children, our grandchildren, our spouses, our workplace. "Whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven." You don't want to be among the least. "But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, one of the best things you can do if you take a little retreat for yourself is take one commandment at a time. Just take one at a time and ask yourself if I'm really living it. Take the catechism, read the commandments, read it carefully. Say, am I living up to this or not? What can I do about it? Take one at a time. Don't try to do all 10 at once. It could defeat you, but take one at a time. And ask God for the grace to change. And he will give it to you. I want to take the last few minutes of this program just to look back at, again, the third of the Beatitude. How blessed the meek, for they shall inherit the land. I'm taking all of these from the gospel that we read earlier this week that outlined all the Beatitudes, and I want to just make sure that we understand what they really mean. Blessed, or translated sometimes, how fortunate the meek, for they shall inherit the land, meaning the promised land, meaning heaven. What does it mean to be meek? Merikaki says, "Bend your necks to my yoke and learn from me, For I am meek and humble-hearted, and your souls will find relief. Bend your necks to my yoke and learn from me, for I am meek and humble-hearted. He's asking us to join the ranks of the meek. What does that mean? The meek person, says Merikakis, must possess great courage in order to accept the yoke of obedience and fidelity that Jesus invites him to share. The meek person must possess great courage. The meek person is the one who, one definition I was given that I think is marvelous, is strength under control. Lord, I think I have a better idea. I want to go this way. But the grace of meekness says, Lord, I will submit my will to your will. It takes great strength to do that. But it is strength under control. That's what meekness is. Meekness is not being, you know, poor or fragile or scared, frightened half the time, nervous, anxious. That's not meekness. And sometimes we think meekness is someone who lets themselves be walked on. Well, sometimes you will be for the sake of the kingdom of God. But that is not the definition of meekness. Meekness is strength under control. In other words, I am willing to take the strength of my own will and put it under the authority of Christ to do it his way, to follow him. And it says, how blessed the meek, for they shall inherit the land, the promised land, the kingdom of God. Merikakis says the meek person must possess great courage in order to accept the yoke of obedience and fidelity that Jesus invites him to share. Meekness and cowardice are mutually exclusive. The coward cannot love meekly with great strength. He can't. He's just afraid. He wants to do anything that will take away his fear. Jesus praises an act of meekness that does not return evil for evil, but that always returns something positive, good for good, or more typically, good for evil. The meek imitate Jesus' spiritual activity. They become vessels that transmit the goodness, the mercy, and the power of God. Christian meekness rests not upon constraints and resignation. Okay, well, I'll do it. It's not that. But upon the freedom of the person who knows he is always and everywhere loved by God. Always and everywhere loved by God. And therefore, he will submit his will to God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Strength, strength under control. Those are gifts that God wants to give us. Gifts that he wants us to live out of, to live from, to return good for evil, is meekness. You want to be angry, you want to react. Instead, you care for, you do something good for one who has hurt you. May God lead you, brothers and sisters, closer to him. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.